The first chapter of Pirkei Avos, we are in at the 10th and 11th Mishnah. The fourth pair, Shemaya and Avtalion. Shemaya and Avtalion were two famous leaders of the Jewish people that preceded Hillel. They were students of Yehuda ben Tabai that we learned about in the last Mishnah. And they also lived in the era, or right after the era, of Yanai HaMelech. I think it was the beginning of the reign of Hadrian, very difficult time. And the Kohen Gadol was implanted, yes.
Were they the ones who were Gerim to Judaism?
Yes, Shemaya and Avtalion were either themselves Gerim or they were children of Gerim. And they assumed great leadership. They assumed the leadership of the Jewish people. In fact, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that after Yom Kippur, one of the most wondrous sights and moments in the Jewish calendar year was right after Yom Kippur, when the people had come out of the, streamed out of the Beis HaMikdash, cleansed, feeling like a fresh, newly born baby, exhilarated, intoxicated with love of Hashem, completely cleansed, the red string had turned white. The Kohen Gadol had affected purity for the Jewish people. They felt so elevated. And when they accompanied the Kohen Gadol home, they were so ecstatic. Nobody thought of breaking the fast. They were just on such a high. The Kohen Gadol was given such covet, and his face used to shine. There are beautiful piyutim that we read about in the Yom Kippur Machzeh in Musaf that describe the scene of the Kohen Gadol leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim and leaving the Beis Hamikdash going home. But in those times, the Kohen Gadol was not necessarily such a savory character. In fact, some of them were tzedakim that were implanted or that were able to get to the position through political connections. And the honor that they were accorded, it was great honor that they were accorded if they came out alive, but nevertheless, it was not the same honor as earlier generations. And the Gemara describes how when they were coming out of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol on Matzah Yom Kippur, all the people that were streaming behind the Kohen Gadol and giving him great honor all of a sudden left him when they saw Shemaya v'Avtalion on the other side of the courtyard, of the plaza. And they all moved over to Shemaya and Avtalion and gave Shemaya v'Avtalion great honor. And the Kohen Gadol got very depressed. I'm supposed to be king of the hill. I'm supposed to be the one that everybody's according great honor. I'm the high priest. And the Gemara records an interesting dialogue between Shemaya and Avtalion and the Kohen Gadol at that time. But Shemaya and Avtalion were very, very beloved, great leaders of the Jewish people. Shemaya comes from the word Shama Ka. He heard the voice of Hashem. Avtalion is a Greek name, which means Avtalia. He's the father of young children. Avtalion was one who adopted the needs of the Jewish people. He became like a fatherly figure to the Jewish people, assuming responsibility for them, even their smallest needs. You know, the sign of a great leader amongst us is different than in the world at large. In the world at large, it's someone that grabs headlines. It's someone that says those power lines that make an effect. And everybody is buzzing around them. They don't have time for the individual needs of one or two singular people. In a Torah-based society, the greatest is always the one that is most mindful of the needs of an individual. You will find every great tzaddik, you'll always find the individual is the most important thing. Rav Moshe Feinstein, you'll find Rav Shach, you'll find the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Any person who was a great leader and had hundreds and thousands of people going around them, hanging on to every word. If one person came in and one person was in pain, they would give them all the time necessary and they would delve into how to resolve their personal situation. Because just like Moshe was chosen as the Jewish leader in one defining moment, he was a shepherd of his father-in-law's flock and he saw a little sheep run away. And he ran after the sheep and he wanted to know what it wants and he put it on his shoulder and he patted it and he brought it back to the flock. So similarly, famous Midrash, so similarly, the sign of a Jewish leader is one who is involved and engaged in the individual, is not looking for publicity and is not looking for grabbing headlines and he doesn't have to be adulated by the masses. And so Shemaiah and Avtalion demonstrated that. They were the greatest leaders. Avtalia, the father of the small children. There was no personal honor. If that's where he felt was important to focus on in order to secure the future of the Jewish people, that's where he taught. Great sign. So Shemaiah and Avtalion, again, one is going to focus on the positive, one is going to focus on the Sor Meira, on the discipline side. Shemaiah is the positive. Let's see. Shemaiah Oymer. Ahav es hamalacha. Love, work. Love, work. Enjoy work. Now, in America, we say work hard, play right. Because work is not an end in itself. Work is only the means with which we're able to acquire money so that we can, in the weekend, hit the beach, hit the movies, have leisure, personal time, and play. But in a Torah-based society, melacha, fulfilling work, is an end in itself. It's meaningful. Melacha, not that I need, not, it's not the money that comes out. It's doing something that is positive and meaningful. Melacha, work, is actually rooted in the word male. Male means to fill. Because when we do work, it's fulfilling. One of the most horrible feelings that we experience is when we kill time. One of the most wondrous feelings that we experience is when we jam-packed a day with real meaningful work and we feel we accomplished so much, we just knocked off our whole checklist and we did more to boot. Yeah. It's a wonderful feeling. Why is that? Because we are created in the image of God. B'Tselem Elokim. And man is a creator. Because God is a creator. Hashem is Boina Olamos. Every moment He's Mechadash B'chol Yom Tuvei Maisi Bereishis. And so when we are emulating our creator and we're giving expression to those spiritual vibes deep within us, it's fulfilling. And when we're denying the purpose of our existence and we're not doing something meaningful, it's horrible. And you might ask, well, if I have to make a living and I am condemned to drive a taxi or to sweep the streets because I got to put bread on the table, there's nothing more demeaning and horrible than that. How can I love the work? Rebellion Lapian once woke up early in the morning in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem, and he saw a simple fellow that was engaged by the Iriyah. They get up very early, like at daybreak, to clean the streets before people come. That's when they get the most work done. And he was sweeping the streets. And he went over to him and he said to him, "Ah, thank you so much. You don't know what you're doing for us. You're cleaning the streets of Jerusalem. It's so meaningful. Thank you so much." The man looked at him like he was crazy. He said, "What do you mean? You know, I'm condemned to do this. I've got to put bread on the table. What should I do?" He said, "What?" He said, "You're doing the greatest thing. You're sweeping the streets of Jerusalem. Obviously, you've got to get paid. If you wouldn't get paid, how could you support your family? But you're sweeping the streets of Yerushalayim. What could be better?" The Chafetz Chaim once came to an inn, and the innkeeper served him a nice meal. And he thanked the innkeeper profusely. So the innkeeper said, "What do you mean? I'm getting paid for this. This is my job." He looked at him, he said, "You're doing the mitzvah of achnasas orchem. You're being hospitable, you're welcoming us in." "What are you supposed to do? You have to take money, because if you don't take money, you can't continue doing the mitzvah. It's not a business. It's a mitzvah factory that actually happens to also provide you livelihood. What are you going to do? You've got to stay alive." A whole different perspective. See, when we're engaged in something, we are thinking about how much more money we could earn, and how we have to be resigned to this lowly job that we have to do entry level, but we're hoping we're going to be able to crawl out of here and hit the megas. They saw it totally different. They saw work as an end in itself. If I'm driving a taxi, I'm helping people, getting them from one place to the other. That's a chesed. I have to actually also get paid for the chesed, because it's not getting paid for the chesed, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to continue doing the chesed. I've got to be able to have some money to put on the table to pay the bills. But it's actually a chesed. So I could transform the job that I'm doing from something that is very meaningless into something that is extremely meaningful if I love the creative aspect of the work. Malacha, it's fulfilling, it's meaningful. I'm doing something that is filling a void. It's something that is necessary, and I'm doing it. So I have a simlacha. I have to cultivate a love of work. Usna es harabonus, he says, despise the rabbinat. Don't become a rabbi. Guys, don't become rabbis. What? What could be better? Usna es harabonus. In Rabbanus, there is an element of sorara. There's an element of self-importance. There's an element of being listened to. Authority. Despise the element of authority in Rabbanus. And some people were so wary of Rabbanus, and the aspect of being given so much honor and accorded so much importance and having to also assume decisions that affect some people positively, some people negatively. You can't please everybody when you're a leader. A leader has to have steel in his spine, and sometimes he has to say things that other people are not going to like. Who wants to be in a position where you're going to disappoint people? If you have to do it, despise that aspect of it. There's an aspect of Rabbanus that is not so good. Usna, hate, esa Rabbanus. The authority that you have to exercise in the Rabbanus. That's how some commentaries explain it. The great Chazon Ish stipulated a condition with his fiancée before he got married. He said, one thing, please don't ask me to become a Rav. I don't want to become a Rav. Even if we're desperate for finances, I'll go work rather than become a Rav. The great Chafetz Chaim would never become a Rav. And they begged them in many different communities, he wouldn't become a Rav. Because a Rav is assuming authority, and he didn't want to have to be in a position where he's dictating to other people what needs to be done. He didn't want to be in a position also where people were according him great honor. It's well known, Rav Shmelka of Nikolsburg became the Rav of Nikolsburg. When he came into the town, they made a lavish reception for him. And he went into a side room before the reception, everybody's waiting for the Rav to come out, and they were wondering, what is the Rav doing in that side room? He's probably preparing a beautiful speech, an impressive piece of Torah. Maybe he didn't yet daven mincha, and he has to daven, so he's davening in the room. There was a guy that peeked through the keyhole, and he looks into the room, and he sees Rav Shmelka walking back and forth in the room.
Shalom Aleichem, Rav Shmelka!
And he's talking to himself.
Shalom Aleichem. Wow,
such an important rabbi. It's so good to see you. And he's mimicking all the people that are going to come over to him and give him accolades and thank him for coming. And he's making it into a whole pantomime to himself.
Wow.
To immunize himself from the feelings of honor that are going to surge inside of him. Oh, I'm important. The whole thing's a pantomime. And he was acting it out as if to say, like, okay, we're going into the show now. Interesting. Great people always sense that distinct distaste for honor. Bereich min hakovod. So usna, despise that aspect of Rabbanus that includes the honor aspect. My Rebbe, the Nesivos Shalom, once confided in a friend. He said, you know, the friend asked him, why don't you drink something before Shachris? Got a drink. He had very poor, weak lungs. He really needed to drink all the time. But he wouldn't drink before davening. So he said, why not? So he said, you know, when I go down to davening and I come in, everybody stands up for me. I abhor it. If I drink before davening, I may have to go out in the middle of davening to the men's room, and everybody's going to stand up when I go out. And then when I come in, everybody's going to stand up. Ooh, I'd rather not drink. That says something. Yes, Brian.
Well, what I'm wondering is, if you have people who are
respected by many other people, and how do people who respect them balance not wanting to tempt them, or whatever you want to call it, and not be disrespectful? When you walk in, everyone stands up because you're a rabbi. So would you rather us not stand up and just say, Rabbi?
There is a concept, and you'll see this, there's a concept that a rav is not supposed to be meichel on his kavod. He's not supposed to, because he's reflecting the honor of Torah. So when people are standing up, they're not really standing up for him. They're standing up for the Torah that he embodies, or that he seems he embodies. And therefore, it's not something that one should be meichel on. But nevertheless, it should be distasteful to a person. He may not have to even express that distaste, but inside it should be distasteful. And someone that revels in it, or someone that enjoys it, is not good. And so therefore, the mission is saying, stay away from the temptation of this. I have to be a Rav. But snot, hate that aspect of Rabbanus that makes you the Rav. Rabbi. Okay? So that's Shema. And then the third thing that he says is, Va'al tisvada l'roshos. Do not make yourself close. Tisvada is to be known. Tisvada really means to be intimate. Don't make yourself very chummy l'roshos to the ruling authority. Because we have a natural desire to suck up to people of influence and people of authority. But al tisvada, don't try to be intimate, but rishus, with the ruling authority. Rishus is a government authority. Rishus really means, what does rishus mean in Hebrew? Permission.
Oh, yeah.
Rabbi, do I have rishus?
Yeah.
I have permission. A government is called rishus because they have permission to do whatever they want, and they grant the permits and the permission for people to do things in society at large, so they're called the rishus. Rishus also is often used for a government that imposes its authority and usurped another government, because otherwise you have an established monarchy, an established kingdomship is called a malchus, a melech, a king. But where you have a government that forced its way through with a junta, with some military overthrow, that's called the Rishus. And here, in his time, of course, King Yanai and King Hadrius, the whole Maccabean revolt was against the Greeks, but afterwards, after the Hasmoneans, Hadrian, Hordus assumed authority by killing out the people before him. There was a lot of military overthrows and coup d'etats that were taking place in his time. And therefore, he said, don't cozy up to the Rishus, because you may be a casualty of the next one that moves in, and you were cozy with the one before. Don't get too close. Treat them very warily. Be very careful when it comes to being close to that government. Today, important rabbis never assume political positions. Sensible people don't assume political positions, because if they are backing up one candidate, they're automatically alienating another candidate. And when you alienate another candidate, maybe that other candidate is going to rise to authority and will take retribution from you. So it's important, it's better to stay parva. We'll accomplish much more by staying on the sidelines than getting deeply involved. V'al tisvada, do not get too close to l'rishus, because they'll try and use you for their ends. Don't get too close to l'rishus, to the ruling authority. Those are the words of Shemaya. So he said everything which is positive, love work, love the positive aspects of work, but stay away from those things that are going to detract from our relationship with Hashem. Rabbanus, Shrara, importance, ruling. Don't be too close to the government. That way you can maintain your independence and you can blossom, you can grow, you can accomplish much, rather than being limited to having to follow their footsteps. Avtalion's going to be the strong one. He's going to give us advice on the soul. What does he say? Chachamim, wise men. Even though you're very wise and you have a lot of Torah to dispense, and you think when you're wise that other people automatically understand you, distill your words very carefully. Hizharu b'divreichem. Be very careful and cautious with your words. Shema tochuvu chovas galus. Lest you may incur, shema, perhaps tochuvu, you will be liable, chovas galus, to the penalty of galus, of exile. Maybe you're going to have to go into exile. God forbid. V'siglu, and you will be exiled, limkoim mayim horoim, to a place of evil waters. Limkoim, to a place, mayim horoim, of evil waters. V'yishtu, and they will drink, hatalmidim, the students, haboim acharechem, they're going to be coming after you. V'yamusu, and they will die. V'nimsa, and it will transpire, that shem shamayim mischalel, the name of heaven is going to be disgraced. In other words, it's very difficult to see the long-term ramifications of one's actions, but it's important to be able to see the consequences of the mistake, and therefore be very careful. Because Shema Tochuvu, maybe if you say one word that could be misinterpreted by a student, one word can cause terrible harm down the road. Antigonus, we learned in the earlier Mishnah, taught to his Talmidim, always be like servants that serve Hashem, not for the sake of any reward. And Tzadok Cambyses, his two greatest students, interpreted that to mean that there is no reward in the world to come. And therefore, they negated the oral law and built up huge sects for themselves that wreaked terrible havoc amongst the Jewish people. The Tzadokim, the Baisusim. The Gemara tells us that, I believe it was Yehoshua ben Prachya, but one of the great Tanoim, talks about one Talmud which we understand to be Yeshu, although it's not clear, it's not sure, but it seems to be Jesus, it seems to be Yeshu, who was admonished by him, who said something inappropriate. And Yeshua ben Prachya reprimanded him and put him in Nidoy. And the student came back to him and asked him, please, Rebbe, forgive me, let me learn Torah from you. And his Rebbe always looked aside and wouldn't look at him. And finally he came back with such humility and such begging, and the Rebbe was going to accept him that day, was going to allow him to return to the shiur. But the Gemara says Rabbi Yeshua at that time was just saying the Shmoneh Esrei, he was davening, and therefore he ignored him. And the student took it to mean, you don't care about me. He didn't know that he was davening or praying at the time. And he understood it to mean that he was being pushed aside. And so he left the fold and he started his own movement. He reinterpreted things a little bit. You realize that the greats of those generations, Jesus was not simply a man. He must have had he didn't just have political savvy or charismatic lines, thank you. He didn't just have some good lines that he was able to capture the idealism of the masses. The people of those times were very wise, they were very intellectual, they were brilliant people. And he must have been a man of great erudition and great learning in order to be able to seduce people behind him, the masses behind him. And so when Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya pushed him aside, he used that as an excuse to break away from Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya and start his own major movement. So people who are carrying authority have to be very, very careful with their words, because the words could be a little misinterpreted, like with Antigonus, and terrible things can happen. There are strong ramifications. And we therefore have to always bear in mind what can come out from, what is the potential outcome of our words. Words are very powerful. We'll hopefully talk a little bit about this next time when we get together, as we forge ahead in our study of Pirkei Avos. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbat.